Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We are back in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It is a chapter on wisdom. It is telling us how to apply God's wisdom to our lives in such a way that it will make our lives joyful and fulfilling and very satisfactory here in this fallen world. Our lives will not be like the ones that Solomon described earlier in the book when he talked about vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Well, it is. Everything that you try in life to bring satisfaction turns out to be empty and vain unless it is not being pursued for selfish reasons, but you are living your life to please God and you are applying His word to everyday living. That's what makes a difference. So if you pursue money for its own goal, for itself, you see rich people around you, and you like the way they live, and you'd like to live like that, so you say, I'm going to become rich, and you set out to make that your goal, what you're going to find out is that really doesn't bring satisfaction in life. That's what Solomon tells us earlier on in this book. It really doesn't. The quicker you learn that, the better off you are. But on the other hand, if you will learn to manage the money that God entrusts to you as a steward, that I don't own a single penny. It's been entrusted to me by God. I'm going to give an account to God for how I have managed His money. And when you view it that way, and then you pay careful attention to what His word tells you about how you should manage your money, and that is not something you can just learn that quick. That takes, in some cases, decades of learning, studying, thinking, trying, going back, adjusting, learning some more. But as you learn to manage your money according to God's wisdom, and you do view it as His money, you will be amazed at how generously God is going to reward His faithful stewards. It's kind of like a business. If a man who owns a business and he entrusts the business into the hands of a manager to run it for him, and he pays him a salary to do that, and the manager does an exceptional job and turns a greater profit for the owner than anyone else that he's ever hired for that position has ever done, he's going to reward that man. He wants to keep that man around. He's going to give him bonuses. He's going to give him extra because that man is a faithful steward. He doesn't think he's the owner of the company. He's managing it for somebody else. But because he's managing it wisely and well, he's going to be rewarded. And that's exactly the way God operates. He'll reward those who manage His money that He's entrusted into your care, but those who manage it wisely. And so we'll continue talking about this on this Wednesday, February 10. As you have joined us, obviously, or you wouldn't have heard what I'm saying, and as some of you help us to pay the bills so that we can continue doing this on this station, if one of these days we disappeared from this station and you said, where did that go? I missed that broadcast. Probably what's happened is we didn't have enough money to pay the bills on all the stations we were on, and so we had to drop one or two, and it might be this one. Who knows? I hope not. I don't want to drop any. I want to add, if God be pleased. But anyway, back to this idea of stewardship. You've got to learn to be a good manager of the money that God entrusts to you, and the way you do that is make a diligent study of God's Word as to how He says you should allocate the resources that He gives to you. And one of the things that He tells us to do is to give generously. Now, if you're viewing all this as my money and trying to figure out how much you can keep for yourself, then your viewpoint of giving to God will be, what's the least I can get by with? If you're a Christian, you know you got to give something, but what's the least I can get by with? Do I have to tithe? Well, do I have to tithe the gross or the net? Do I have to tithe this? I've had people come and ask me different things that they'll say. I got this money, and it came from my parents, and they tithed on it, so it's already been tithed on, so I don't need to tithe on it, do I? And what that tells me is, here's someone who's not looking at this as, how generously can I give? But they're looking at it as, how much can I keep for myself? I don't want to give one penny more than I absolutely have to. I certainly don't want God to punish me for being stingy, so I know I need to give, but I don't want to give $1 more than I'm required. I want to keep as much as I can for myself. You've got the whole thing wrong. Your attitude is wrong. You're not pleasing God with the tithing you're giving or whatever it is you're giving. Your attitude's wrong. Your attitude needs to be, how much can I give? That's why I don't know that it makes any difference, really, whether you tithe on the gross or the net. But speaking for myself, my philosophy has always been, always pick the larger amount. If you're not sure, pick the larger amount. Tithe on the gross. Before you take out for taxes and for this and for that, tithe on the larger amount. You won't be the loser for it. Learn to do that. You're giving generously. And learn to go beyond that. Don't stop with the tithe. Go on. Learn to give more generously, because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is committed to making sure that those who are truly cheerful givers are going to have plenty to give. It's as simple as that. A couple of broadcasts ago, I told you about how years ago my wife and I figured out, I don't know why it took us any time to figure this out, but it took a little time for it to sink in, that if we were making a car payment for, say, $300 a month, and we paid the car off, we would have an extra $300 a month that we could put into savings. Now, I told you that much. I didn't tell you the rest of it. And we did that, and the savings account that we put the money into was a car replacement fund. Now we're making a monthly car payment to ourselves, to the savings account. And what that did over time is enabled us to pay cash for cars. Because, and you might not do that the first time. The first time you say, okay, I've got it. The car has reached the end of its useful life. I've got to replace it. I have $5,000 in my car replacement fund. That's not enough to buy a new car. But what it is, and when I say new, I never recommend buying a brand new car. I always recommend buying a good quality used car. But that $5,000 isn't going to buy a whole vehicle. But what it means is I'm starting out in a much better place than I was on the previous vehicle when I didn't have basically didn't have any part of the cost of it in my in savings. You understand? I had to finance the whole thing. So now I buy, just for the sake of illustration, let's say I buy a $15,000 car, and you don't have to buy one that high, but whatever, buy a $15,000 car. Now I have $5,000 to pay on it, so now I have $10,000 to finance. Now, it probably would be wiser, if I've got $5,000, to just buy a $5,000 car. And that'll be older. But then I won't have any payments on it. I won't owe anything on it. And now I can immediately, from the very first month, continue to put that $300 a month car payment into the savings account. And if this car will last me, I'm trying to do a little calculating in my head right now. If this car will last me for 3 or 4 years, this $5,000 car I bought, then when it comes time that I have to replace that, I'm going to have over $10,000 in my savings account. Now I can buy a $10,000 car and have no payments on it. You see how that works? And we learned to do that so that we haven't had a car payment in decades. And that frees up, that does a lot of things, but that frees up a lot of discretionary money. It's amazing how that just, when you're saving instead of financing, you say, well, interest rates are low, it's not that big a deal. Yeah, I know. But when you're saving instead of borrowing, it's amazing how much surplus you gain in the process. I just can't explain it, but I promise you it's so. And that enables you to be more generous in your giving. And it enables you to have some surplus for other things. It enables you to have an emergency fund if something goes wrong. There have been a few times over the years when we've had to dip into our car fund to make a car repair that we weren't expecting on. Well, it does reduce the car savings, you know, the car replacement savings, but that's still cheaper than that's still to our advantage. We can make the repair, pay for it cash. It doesn't go on a credit card. It doesn't incur any debt, and we just go right back to putting the money back into savings. It has worked beautifully. And what are we talking about? I'm getting going to get off this subject in a moment. I've gone back to it now for several broadcasts. And you say, well, you must like to talk about money. Yes, I do, because I've learned how important it is, both in my own life and in the lives of Christians, all Christians. This is one of the biggest areas of life. And if you really learn to get this under control, your spending, if you really learn how to manage your money according to the principles of God's Word, if you really learn to apply God's wisdom to your money, your life is going to be transformed. I promise you that. You will be amazed at what a difference that makes. But it takes a whole new way of thinking. And it takes a while. It takes a while to make those adjustments out of a living, spending everything I get mentality to spending less and less and less. I was spending 100% of what my income. Now I'm spending 80% of my income. Now I'm spending 60% of my income. And it's amazing what that does. Well, we'll move off this subject to another one. Please join me tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.